Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to ScaryCast. I believe the best hour of paranormal on the internet and on the World Wide Web and the radio. Now, tonight we would like to welcome listeners from WTWW Nashville. We'd like to welcome them to our show. This is the first time that we've been with them, and we hope to have a long and wonderful relationship. WTWW is shortwave radio for the world. It covers the globe with 100,000 watts. So we're glad to be with everybody there, along with our listeners from WLSC AM and FM, Myrtle Beach, Loris. We're always glad to have all of you listeners there on tigerradio.com. So anyway, it's good to be here. I would like to, of course, introduce our co-hosts. We've got some marvelous co-hosts. I think we have the best co-hosts in the business, frankly. First of all, the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, Dr. Trey Donaway, the man that knows the body and how it works. Dr. Trey Donaway, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, John. Happy to be here and very happy to hear about WTW Nashville. I've never been on a shortwave radio.
Well,
this
is what Alex Jones started on, believe it or not. And look where Alex Jones got. So maybe we'll meet Alex Jones up there in the big radio land and TV land in the sky. But we're going to work on it because we've got a great show.
In the meantime, we'll just be bouncing our radio waves off the ionosphere and going worldwide.
That is exactly right. So glad to have everybody here. And, of course, from Niagara Falls, Canada, the one and only Mark Johnston, my buddy, the producer of our YouTube site for ScaryCast. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
John, I'm doing excellent. I'm excited to be on the show again, and I'm excited to hear how things are progressing with your show, and it'll be interesting to see what things are to come. Lots of good conversations.
Oh, we have more announcements to make as the next couple of weeks progress. So anyway, glad to have our two co-hosts with us. Devin Tate has his family in town, our man from West Hollywood, and Robin is getting better. She'd had a little bit of a couple of health issues, but she is getting better, and the queen of ScaryCast will be back with us next week, Robin McCray, the lady that knows the Bigfoot. So anyway, look forward to having her back and Devin back. It's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, our guest tonight, last week we had a kind of a wonderful show because we had a Bigfoot experiencer, someone that had a Bigfoot, a run-in, let's say, with Bigfoot. And it was really kind of interesting. Now, tonight, my buddy Keith, because I talk to him about every other day, we were talking this week, and he said, "Well, you know, John, I saw a UFO 3 weeks ago," and I said, "Stop. I don't want to hear it. I want you to come on ScaryCast and tell everybody about your UFO experience, and we will dissect it and talk about it and see what we can come up with." So, Keith, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us where you're from and just what you do, and how did this whole encounter start?
Well, John, what's going on, everyone? I live up in Wisconsin, and I experienced some lights that were high up in the sky. I was driving down to Illinois to see some friends about 3 weeks ago, and a little more at this point, but yeah, it's for Halloween, so yeah, 3 weeks ago. And on the way down, I saw these three lights in the sky. And they were really bright. And, you know, I watched them for probably 15 minutes or so. And they didn't move at all. So they were just in the sky. And there was no movement to them. There was no, they were in a triangle. It was an upside down triangle or a right side up triangle, but they were pretty evenly spaced and in a triangle shape. And you know, I watched them for like 15, 20 minutes just while I was driving, and it was pretty freaking cool. And I had this really good feeling because I've been, you know, looking for something, an experience like that for a little while now, and it just kind of happened. And probably about halfway through looking at those lights, I looked off to the right, probably, you know, 90 degrees or so, and I saw another one, and it was the same style of light. It was just a big bright light in the sky, and it was behind the clouds, because they were pretty high up there, and they weren't moving. They were just sitting there. And then what makes the story even more interesting is my friend called me the next night, or maybe it was that same night, and she said that she saw one of those lights too. Except she said that she didn't see it high up in the sky. She said she saw it lower to the ground, but that could have just been her perspective from where she was located from. I don't really know, but yeah, she said that she saw this really bright light too, and it wasn't like anything else she's ever seen. So it was a really interesting night. Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. Keith, I've got a couple questions for you already. This is Dr. John. First of all, where were you driving? Approximately near what city were you? And what highway?
Okay, I was on 39 going south. I was probably right by the Wisconsin-Illinois border, so I was below Madison probably then. Not by too much, though. So,
and what time approximately did you have your experience?
So it was a little bit before sunset, and this was, when was daylight savings?
Sunday, I think.
Okay, so this was before daylight savings, so it was probably, so the sun goes down at what? Goes down at 5 o'clock now, so it was probably right like 6 o'clock. It's probably 6 o'clock or so, like in that vicinity. And yeah, like I said, it was below Madison, somewhere on the Illinois-Wisconsin border.
Okay, now about how big do you believe this first triangle was? If you had to guess its actual size, how big would you think it would be?
At least a couple thousand feet. Probably 3,000 feet, I'd say. It was massive. I didn't see anything in the middle of it. I was trying to see if there was something in the center, but I didn't see anything. It was just three lights that were in a perfect triangle shape. And they were super bright too, and they were a white light.
Was there any connection, physical connection that you could see between the lights?
No, there was no physical connection between the lights.
So they were just hanging out in the sky.
But I felt it was really strange that they were... Go ahead.
Hey, I have a question. Is it like a perfectly angled and sided triangle? Like, was the geometry perfect, or was it like a little bit skewed in the sky, like triangle-wise?
No, it was a perfect triangle, a perfect, I don't know what the name of it, but it's the 60-degree angle triangle. It was just bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an equilateral triangle.
Equilateral.
Yeah.
That seems to be a pretty common theme of what people see. That's a common shape whenever I've heard a lot of UFO sightings. That's the triangle typical pattern. But sometimes I've heard that they start off triangle and then they split apart and they do different things. Like it almost looks like it could be one, but then there's actually three different ones. And then I've heard other ones where it was actually they saw a solid structure of a three-pointed UFO as well. So could you distinguish between, do you think it was like one solid object or three solid or three different ones?
Well, judging the fact that I didn't see any connection in the center of them, or like John stated, from the edges, I'd say that they were three separate objects that were just making that pattern.
Interesting.
Yeah. Keith, you said that when you looked off to the right, there was a bright light. Was this a triangle again, or was this just a bright light like the elements of the triangle that you saw?
It was just like one of the lights from the triangle, but it was by itself. There was nothing else with it.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to look up.
Go ahead, please go ahead, Trey.
I'm trying to look up military operation areas in southern Wisconsin, and I'm not having any luck with it. Do you know if it was near any military bases or MOAs?
I have no idea, Trey. I was just I was by the Wisconsin Illinois border, going south on I-39, and they were. They were south of me, so they were probably right around – they were probably in northern Illinois. I mean, that's a pretty remote area, so there could be some kind of base or something like that out there. I don't really know.
Well, I tell you, west – I found one. The big area is west of Oshkosh, but it sounds like you might have been further south because Oshkosh if you go west from Appleton and Oshkosh, the border is Wapaka County, which I think is where New London is. It sounds
is
like
that
you're
by,
south.
Is
of
that
there.
By I-39?
I don't know. The map doesn't show roads, but the big MOA is dead west of Oshkosh. So if you were further south than Oshkosh, you wouldn't have been in an MOA that's showing in, looks like, central, northern.
Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Let's see here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look upon the map real quick. I don't really know.
Well, I see Madison is, that's all north of Madison.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I was a lot
further south than that. I was a lot
yeah,
further
and
south
that's,
than that.
That's the only MOA that they list that I can see on a map. So you were not in a military operation area. That would be one thing that, you know, I just got back from.
Yeah.
I just got back from the beach, and they've got all sorts of stuff going around. Surf City and Topsail Island, but there's an Air Force base or some type of a military base, and they have helicopters and they have Ospreys flying all times of the day and night because that's their training area. But in Wisconsin, it looks like it's north of where you were.
Right.
Can you
so
look
Trey,
up the
you
ones
near,
in Illinois?
You were near Cherry Point, right?
I guess it'd be north of Cherry Grove. I was
Cherry
up in
Point.
North Carolina.
Yeah,
oh, Cherry
Point.
Point. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of strange things. A lot of strange things up there. I've seen them just driving to Jacksonville. Boy, you can see some strange stuff there in the skies in Jacksonville.
It sounds like from the elevation, it's pretty high. If it was behind clouds, unless the clouds are particularly low. And you had some altitude, certainly. And they weren't moving in relationship to each other, the triangle lights and then the one bright light?
Nope. They were stationary in the sky. They weren't moving. And
did they ever leave?
Were
you able to? Did they vacate while you were looking, or did they just stay in the sky and then you drove out of range?
No, they were in the sky through the whole time in front of me, and they just got too cloudy and then they disappeared after about 20 minutes.
When the clouds
and I didn't
came
see
them
anymore after that.
Yeah, well, you guys were mentioning like potential military aircraft, and the one thing that came to mind when you said it was a triangle shape was that there's the speculative surveillance aircraft called the TR-3A, Black Manta, and that's one that apparently that a lot of people have seen being this triangle shape in the sky as well, and it's supposed to have some like flying qualities such as like hovering in the air and that type of thing. So it could be that, but the fact that you said they looked like three different things forming a triangle, makes me think that it's probably not that. It was probably some three different objects in itself.
It had to be, and like I said, it was at least 3,000. The lights were at least 3,000 feet apart. They could have been a mile or two apart even. They were extremely bright lights. It was pretty powerful. So I mean, it could be military too, because you know the military has, you know, they have access to UFO technology too. So it could, you know, it could be them up in the sky too. So who I don't really know, but
I wonder. You know, if you had binoculars, you could look in the center of it, and if you could see stars through the center, then you'd figure it's not a solid object. But certainly, an object that big should register on radar. Unless it's, you know,
UFO
radar
with,
Heather.
Yeah. Some radars some UFOs have been picked up on radars over the years, but other ones I've heard stories where they were untraceable as well. So.
Yep. But if you have bright lights on, but if bright lights in a triangle isn't a solid, the black artifact. Of those bright lights, you, with the naked eye, you certainly couldn't see in between to see if there was something solid blocking starlight in the middle.
Yeah,
it'd be hard to figure out just with your bare eyes.
So you also saw an additional light to the right of these three, to the right of the triangle. Is that correct, Keith?
That's right.
What was it doing?
Yeah,
just sitting there hovering?
Yep, it was sitting there hovering.
And did the clouds obscure that object like they did the others?
Yes, the clouds were obscuring all the objects in the sky.
You know, you figure if I was an alien that was observing something from the sky on our planet, I don't know if I'd put bright lights on the corners or why would you have a bright light going on? If they really wanted to make their presence known, why don't they just fly down and say hello? So it always is always curious if you see the lights, if we attribute an advanced civilization to come with UFOs from an alien environment, certainly, I mean, if you're trying to sneak up on somebody, you're not going to be shining a big light. Curiouser and curiouser.
I think, frankly, they're getting to where they don't care. We have been so desensitized to the idea of UFOs that they feel like they can just come do anything, perhaps.
It could be, John. It could be.
Could be part of their propulsion system or their equipment to, like, what the lights that we're seeing could be them phasing in and out of some our reality or, like, actually propulsion system, like creating plasma or that type of thing. So what we're seeing as light is just essentially something from their engineering in itself.
I don't know what to make of this, Keith.
Basically, you have three lights in a perfect equilateral triangle. They're just sitting there hovering. Now, were you clearly move as you were going down Interstate 39, were you clearly moving through the perimeter of those three lights? I mean, were you moving forward and past them?
No, they were just where they were in front of me. So they were always in the same spot in front of me.
You got to figure if they're always in the same spot in front of you, if they were hovering, it's going to change your, I mean, that perspective is going to change as you're moving. You're going to approach it.
Right in front of the car, though, too. They were literally, like, right in front of my car. So I think they moved a little bit off to the left as I was driving, but they didn't really move too much at all. So then they were pretty stationary, but I think they were just really far away. But
and as far as brightness goes, was it as bright as a planet, or was it brighter? Or what magnitude of brightness do you think it might have had?
Oh, you ever look up at the northern star?
Yeah,
brightest star in the sky. Now about probably 5 or 10 times brighter than that.
Hmm.
They were pretty bright.
Have you ever seen the space station as it flies overhead?
Nope.
I tell you, there's a website you can go to, and you feed in your geographic location, you give them the contact information, and when the space station flies over, you will have an alert in the morning, and it will say tonight at 6:15 p.m. Look to 30 degrees west northwest or wherever it might be, and you can clearly see the space station as it comes whizzing by. It moves fast, but it is very bright. The reflection of that is very bright. And the first time we looked for it, we were straining to see it, and we were straining to see it, and couldn't see it. And all of a sudden, there it was. And it's like the brightest thing in the sky, and it tracks very rapidly. So, you know, even at a distance, if it's reflecting sunlight, if it's large enough to reflect sunlight, it's going to light it up pretty good. But again, that's one point of light, not three, and it's tracking as you follow it.
And that's interesting because I'm going to date myself here. But we, as kids, we were young kids. I was like 4. Bobby was 7, and his sister Kathy was 5. And our parents were having dinner, and we were kind of like on our own to eat hot dogs and whatever. So we went outside, and we actually saw Sputnik. Sputnik was so low that we saw this brilliant large star, and we knew it was. I mean, it had been on television. We were all. I think kids were smarter back then than they are now. We knew what Sputnik was. We knew it was flying over. And Bobby said, let's go out and look for Sputnik because it's supposed to be flying over here. And sure enough, I swear, there we saw it. And it was like a very, very bright star, and it moved quite rapidly. So, I mean, it was, you know, you can see these things. You really can. Trey, do you know about how far up or how far we should say the space station orbits above the Earth? Do we know approximately? Is it?
I don't think it's in a real high Earth orbit. Now it's higher than the Russians blew up the old satellite and sprinkled junk all over the lower aspects. And I think it was just above that. So I don't think it's in a real high Earth orbit. But I can find out for us. You keep talking, and I'll find out.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know, you know, how, because, you know, Keith, you said you saw this, or whoever said they saw the space station. I was busy thinking too much about my Sputnik experience to remember who said it, but it is interesting. We can see things
And if we get us a telescope like Eric Colley, the senior astronomer for ScaryCast, you know, he's on here some, and he also comes to our events. Like, he was at the Lizard Man Festival, and we were watching the sun, and it was a lot of fun. But, you know, he can see a lot of things through those telescopes, and he says a lot of times he'll just see junk floating around, and it's like, you know, it's kind of like we need Lady Bird Johnson to say, keep America beautiful, keep space beautiful, because I tell you what, it's getting kind of junky up there. And then from what I understand, they got a lot of junk left on the moon. Well, we don't exactly know about that, but, you know, whatever. It's just kind of interesting. So, Keith, have you
ever
had...
The space station flies at an altitude of about 248 miles average, so 400 kilometers, above the Earth's atmosphere, or above the Earth, and it circles the globe every 90 minutes, and it's traveling at 17,500 miles per hour when it's moving. So, but again, when you look at that kind of a satellite, and the space station is, I would presume, the biggest thing up in the sky, it really is quite bright, even at that distance. It's reflected sunlight, so you can really see it. But this doesn't sound like reflected sunlight. Somehow, it depends on its altitude, I guess.
So, Keith, is this now? I'm gonna ask everybody the following question. Keith, was this your first experience seeing what you believe to be an unidentified flying object?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It definitely was.
Trey Donovan, have you ever seen what you would consider an unidentified flying object?
No. Never have.
Okay.
Most of the things that I've seen are pretty identifiable as an aircraft or satellite.
Okay. Mark Johnston, have you ever seen an unidentified flying object?
I believe so. I've had a few encounters that were questionable. They could have been, but could have not have been. It was just lights in the sky and doing weird things, weird colors, illuminating, disappearing, that type of thing. But there was one in particular that was a very strange event. It happened, was it 2005-ish? And it was one of the first years I was living in B.C. We lived in the Rocky Mountains, B.C. area there. And I think it was a spring night, and there was northern lights outside. So we went to this good lookout in town to check out the northern lights, right, over the mountains. It was really beautiful. And the sky gets pretty illuminated, right? It was pretty intense in the one particular spot in the sky. Well, all of a sudden, over the mountains, we saw a cluster form of uniform-shaped, looked like the side profile, looked like little footballs, like about a cluster of like six of them in the sky. And then all of a sudden, they would disappear, and we're like, where are they? And then we look over, and all of a sudden, they're over, like, over here a little bit. And then they just get closer and closer and closer until they were pretty much on top of us, and by that point you could see that they, like, it was looking up, and it was just like stereotypical saucer shape, like a circle from underneath, with they're all silhouettes, so you could see the night sky, but you could see that there was definitely things there, and they're all uniform shape, about seven of them, and they were all moving together, and then they would jump, so like one or two would jump into a new location, and then a few other ones would disappear, and then they'd reappear over here. And, you know, I was there with a group of five of us, and we all saw it. Some of them were kind of in denial what they're seeing, but a few of us were like, okay, this doesn't make sense. Like, what are we seeing here? And ever since then, that was kind of one of my main instances that really opened up my eyes. And since that point, I've been super interested in ufology, all types of things, going into the ancient aliens things, but also researching kind of... like encounters and stories and firsthand experiences over the years. So I wouldn't call myself an expert, but this is something over the years, probably 15 plus years now, that I've that's been of big interest to me. And that was one of my eye-opening experiences, I would call it.
I would say so, Mark. That sounds like the real deal. If you could see a moving, and you could see a silhouette, so you knew there was something solid.
And they're all uniform shape. They're all the same shape. Like from when we were looking from a side profile, they were more flat and football shaped. And then when they were more over us, they were more round shape, right? So that, to me, seems like a standard saucer shape or like... And if it was some type of anomaly with the Northern Lights, that's what I kind of thought after, but then it would be, it wouldn't be all uniform. And there were such silhouette. It was like, just like, it, you could just tell something was there moving around, and just the way they were moving and things, I don't know. It makes me, it made me really think that that was an experience. And, you know, talking to people in that area, like my friends over the years, I have a friend who worked at a golf course. He was like night maintenance. So he was out every night, right? In that area, and he said that there was, he saw things like almost on a nightly basis, and over the years afterwards in the same area I did as well, nothing that was that crazy, but lights that would seem to change direction, which made me think it wasn't satellites just don't change direction up there, right? And other ones,
no,
where there
satellites
was
are just
a cluster
going in,
moving together,
pretty much straight line. Yeah
exactly.
Well, and again, you know, the question always is, as well, is the military testing something, is it some Skunk Works program, and this is just you're just being able to see it, but you can't identify it. And of course, with the big UFO report, which was a nothing burger, that really didn't help clarify anything. It didn't really answer any questions. It didn't. There was no aha moment of anything. It was just kind of more of the same, but a lot of hype was built up to it.
Huh? Yeah. Have you guys heard about The space military test being done by Russia and China in the past few weeks?
Yes.
So China, I think it was at least a week ago, they have this new anti-satellite weapon. So it's like essentially anti-air missile, but anti-space missile from the Earth. So they've been doing tests with that. It's like a hypersonic one. And China has this one that's hypersonic that like travels in space essentially, like in the lower orbit of space. And then it has like a supposed to be warhead delivery system. Could travel anywhere on the planet, like in a very short period of time. So if there's these types of missile tests, I believe the U.S. is doing them as well, then, you know, if there's different booster systems that, like, maybe there's, like, a three booster on it, and then that gets ejected, and then that might cause a triangle, right? Who knows? So these types of things could be going on as well.
You make a good point there. I will tell you a story about a good friend of mine, Kyle Peckham. Kyle actually ran the Charlotte CryptoCon with me, 5 years ago. He was very interested in UFOs. He lived in Statesville. Statesville is just north of Charlotte by about 30 miles, and Charlotte has one of the largest airports in the country, Douglas International Airport. And what Kyle said that he used to like to do when he was in college is he would go to college, he would come back home, get his work done, and go outside and get in one of those old lounge chairs, look up in the sky, and just kind of look around. And he said, you know, you get to where you know the pattern of the planes flying in and flying out of the airport because it was very regular. But every night there would be something irregular, something that would just be very suspect, flying around, doing strange things. He said all you had to do was sit there in your easy chair from like 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., and you could see lots of strange things going on in the sky. And to my knowledge, there are no military bases between Charlotte and Mooresville and Statesville, to the best of my knowledge. There are other places. But I don't think there's anything much in Charlotte. I think it's just a big commercial city. So anyway, just from a guy that watched the sky every night, he said there were strange things always going on in the sky that just, you know, it's like it happened one time and you never saw it again, then you knew it had to be, you know, an unidentified object, whatever that is, because you could always tell the planes, and he got to where he knew the routes and everything and would watch them come in. It's kind of fun. I never knew that, but he told me that story one time, and I thought it was a wonderful story, because you can probably see more UFOs out at night than you would think that you can. Now, I will answer my own question, is have you ever seen a UFO? No, I have not. However, I believe I have had 8 run-ins with aliens. They are all chronicled in my book, Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. So if you want to read my eight stories, just grab that book from Amazon. The Kindle version is still free. The book is $12.95. I'm pretty proud of that book. It's got a lot of stuff in it that I did a lot of research in. Kind of like the upcoming book, and I'll go ahead and just remind everybody, before the first of the year, the Lizard Man Companion will be out. And in fact, a magazine called me up and asked me to do an interview about the Lizard Man Companion. So that will be coming out, and I'll let everybody know when and where and how you can find it on the Internet. And it's also in a hardback, so that's going to be very interesting. They're also going to help. They also want me to talk about, well, the Lizard Man Companion and the Lizard Man Festival and the upcoming plans for it. So it's very nice that we're finally, after 4.5 years, getting recognized for the Lizard Man Festival and the upcoming book. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. So it looks like I haven't seen a UFO. Mark thinks he has, and it seems reasonable that he has. Trey has not, and Keith certainly has the UFO story that we would tend to believe. It sounds like it. Now, Keith, one other question. In terms of the configuration of those lights, was there one light leading the way, kind of, and then the other two were following behind it, or how was that actually set up?
No, John, what it looked like from my angle was that they were all in the same position. Like there wasn't the leading light. They were all like straight up and down, doing whatever it was that they were doing, sitting there or moving ever so slightly. I don't really know, but they looked like they were straight up and down from my perspective.
Okay. And your friend that called you, did she give the approximate same time that she saw this?
No, I think she said she saw hers later at night.
Okay.
So I don't really know. She didn't. She explained hers a little bit, but she said that hers was right by the ground, so I think that she probably saw the same thing because she was very excited about it too, but I don't necessarily know because I wasn't there, so I'm not able to verify that information because I don't really take everything she says too seriously, you know. So, I don't know.
All right. Well, do we have any more questions for Keith about this episode in his life, the UFO experience on it? And you said Halloween 2021?
It was either Halloween or the day before. I don't remember which one. I think it was Halloween, though.
Okay. Any more questions? Seeing none, case dismissed. Now, acting like a judge here. But anyway, so let's evaluate a little bit what Keith said and some of the comments. So we'll start first with Mark Johnston, then we'll go to Trey Donaway, and then I'll weigh in. So Mark, what do you think about Keith's story?
Well, I think like from a lot of the experiences I've heard on the internet and people's testimony on witnessing UFOs, I think this is a very common theme, the whole triangle thing, multiple cluster of lights together that just hover there that don't look like planes. Sometimes they move, sometimes they converge or disappear and reappear. So it's I think it really parallels a lot of what I've heard over the years, and I think I would say there's a good chance that it was one. Obviously, you know, we can't be 100% conclusive, but it does fall in line with common UFO experiences, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And our Surgeon General, Dr. Donaway, what do you think about Keith's experience?
Well, I think Keith saw what he saw. There was no hyperbole. There wasn't exaggeration. You know, it's just hard to tell what three immobile lights in the sky are doing with one off to the side. It could be any number of things, which why it becomes a UFO, because, or the UA, what is the new one? UFO wasn't good enough, so now it's
unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAP.
Yeah, UAP.
Something like that.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, changing the name of something because you got extra money for marketing. But I think it's a genuine sighting, but of what, who knows?
All right. I'll say I believe Keith. I've known Keith too long. He's very practical, and he doesn't tend to exaggerate. And I think he saw what he saw. And you know, we've all seen things, and in fact, that was going to be my next topic, is we've all seen odd things in nature and in the world as we've lived our lives. So I would like, if you have a story of an odd thing that you have seen, let's go around the table here tonight and talk about those, because they're always fun, and you never know. You just never know the kinds of things that people have seen. So, Mark, you have related last week, you told us a story about what you believe to be a Bigfoot that you saw in a cave, and you've had basically a UFO story, which is kind of interesting. Do you have any other things that you have seen in your lifetime that are odd and unusual?
Well, I would say the runner-up to that UFO sighting I told you was another UFO sighting. And this happened when it was daylight out, actually. So, you know, a lot of the common UFOs you see are lights in the sky, and it's kind of inconclusive because, like, what's a light in the sky? This one I actually saw, it was that looked like a metallic object. And to give the story, I was working at a nightclub in Ibiza, Spain, which is an island in the Mediterranean. And I got off in the morning, hung out for a bit, and was riding my bike home in the morning down this highway. And something just made me stop and look up in the sky, right? First thing in the morning, like 7 o'clock, bright, sunny out. Well, right above me was this, like, golden, glowing. It was, like, between color of red and gold, if that makes sense, orangey, bright, like, metallic. And I was looking at it, and all of a sudden it just disappeared. Ching, it was gone. I was like, what the hell? And then a few minutes later, looking up, I saw it again just briefly, and then it was gone again. So that's, and I actually took a picture of it. I have pictures of this. I have actually evidence of this. I have to dig them up. I know they're somewhere, but I had a wide-angle lens on my camera, so I couldn't zoom in. I wish I could have. So I have this wide-angle lens, two shots of them, of this bright orangey thing in the sky that disappeared.
Okay.
So I'll try to take those
down. That would get your attention.
Yeah. And I was there, and I was trying to tell other people, like, yo, look at this. Like, what the hell is this? And they're, like, not even listening to me. They're, like, yeah, you're crazy. You're just walking by. I'm, like, look, there's something up there pointing. And no one was listening to me, but I was, like, looking at it, and it was like just a sphere, golden, orangey sphere in the sky. That's what it was.
Okay.
The only thing I could think of was it was a balloon, like a balloon that got released from a party or something. It was just up there glowing. But to be honest, I don't think so. Like, it looked more, I don't know, it could have been, right? So that's why I think that's more inconclusive than my last story, or not, like, I doubt it too, but it was what it was. I saw something there anyway. I took pictures of it.
Well, if you only saw it once and it disappeared, and then it came back, it's not like the balloon popped. And to have two balloons show up like that when you were looking at the sky and there wasn't a second one around, that, to me, that's not a popping balloon.
And it seemed like the thing was like a bit glowing. It looked like it was like hot. Like it was like, because I'll try to find those pictures. I don't know if I still have them on my Facebook or whatever. I might have them somewhere. But the thing looked like it was glowing, like hot. And it could have been the sun reflecting off it, but I don't know. It looked more like, more UFO-y than anything else, like, than I can think of.
All right. All right, Mark, I will tell you what I believe that was. There's a story about one of these in Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies, my book. We were out doing caricatures on the pier, and a young man, he was about 16 or 17, he came by and his mom wanted him to get a caricature. And so we started talking about, I had just published Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies, and I started talking about it. He said, "Oh, my God, let me tell you what happened to us." I said, "Okay, great." They had a condo in one of the high-rises toward North Myrtle Beach, and he was sitting out on the balcony. It was a very nice condo, and it had a seaside view, so he was just sitting out there one night about 1 o'clock in the morning, and he saw this little dot of light. It was orange, and it started coming closer and closer, and he was just mesmerized with it. He said, "I just sat there." I mean, he said, "I should have gone inside, but it was very strange." And he said the thing got about 100 feet from him. He could see some marbling or something inside of it. It was glowing hot orange. It sat there like it was looking at him. Then all of a sudden it took off like a rocket the other way. And it was, he said it was probably about 30 feet across. And it was about 100 feet from him, and he was terrified. Does this sound anything like what you saw?
I would say hot orange would be the perfect way to describe the color to it. Yeah, hot orange, kind of metallic-y, like hot. Like it looked like it's like a hot, like coal or rock, but orangey and up there in the sky. So that's the best way I can describe
right.
it.
Right.
And just blinked, gone.
And these things have been labeled as scout ships from UFOs. And I've been told by several sources, never mess with these. It's like he should have gone inside because that thing could have come closer, and who knows if he would have even been around on that back porch of that condo. So if you ever see one of these scout ships, you get the heck away from it because you don't know if they're going to capture you or whatever. So that must have been, you know, or by my best estimation from the research I've done, that would have been a UFO scout ship. All right. Well, you know, that was great that you had that, and it correlates. There's a very famous author in Myrtle Beach named Bo Bryan. He wrote the book Shag, which was an international bestseller. He's a super guy. He's a friend of mine, and he had a similar experience with one of these orange things. He and a friend of his were in kind of a little rowboat just rowing down, you know, some of the swamps in Florida. There weren't any trees around. It was more like a marshy area, kind of like Myrtle's Inlet. And they were just, you know, going along. It had become dark, and they were enjoying themselves, talking and everything. And they thought they heard something, and they both turned around to see one of these electric orange round objects coming up toward them. And it came up toward them, and it stopped about 50 feet from them. They were terrified. And then, like a shot, the thing took off the other way. So, I mean, we now have three stories about these scout ships, and I think three stories is enough to say, well, you know, there's something to this. So, you know, maybe we need to find other folks. And anybody that is on, is listening in, please email me personally, jwstamey@gmail.com. If you've got a story about a scout ship or anything else interesting, we'll talk to you about it, and maybe it'll make it onto the show. But these stories are interesting, and the more we have about a particular topic, the more believable it becomes, I think. So, Trey, what is one of the most amazing things that you have ever seen? You got one for us?
Actually, John, I do. First of all, you guys lead much more exciting lives than me. I mean, most of my life has been spent in a hospital. So I've seen interesting things inside bodies, but one of the strangest things I've ever seen was actually in the hospital.
Okay.
The surgical wing has about 15 rooms on both sides of the wing. You go all the way to the end. There's no exit. You can only exit in front of the nursing station. So if I was walking out from the surgical wing, past the nursing station, and turn right on the main corridor, there's a stairwell immediately to the right. As soon as you come around that corner, you're at a stairwell. And I was coming around the corner. I opened the stairwell, and I was going downstairs because that's where the doctor's mailboxes are. And I saw maintenance taking the stairs. I've never seen that before. I've never seen the maintenance guys actually take the stairs to get up or down. They always take the elevator. And I've never seen that before since. I never saw it before. And that is one of the strangest things I have ever seen. Now, I think, in retrospect, they could have been aliens masquerading as maintenance. But I actually recognized one of the maintenance guys. I mean, I'd seen him before. I knew his name. So he could have been a body snatcher and just occupied that body. But I don't think any self-respecting maintenance guy is going to ever take the stairs if the elevator's working. And that, my friends, is one of the strangest things I've ever seen in a hospital.
I believe you. And I truly believe you. Yeah, we'll you and I have shared some other stories. Maybe I can talk you into sharing a couple of those with us later on. So we'll leave it at that. But that's a good one, Trey. I agree with you. I mean, why would they take the stairs when they can take the elevator?
I never saw that happen again. I never saw it before. I pinched myself to make sure I wasn't just dreaming. But no, not one, but two maintenance guys, and they were taking the stairs. Unbelievable.
Wow.
You had the experience with the dowsing rod the other week, right? That was, I remember you were pretty impressed with that.
I did have that experience, and that was strange, but not as strange as two maintenance guys in a hospital taking the stairs. That takes it off.
I agree with you, Trey. That's great. Keith, what is the strangest thing that you have ever seen?
I don't think I've seen anything as strange as two maintenance guys taking the stairs in a hospital, but
it's pretty. Don't try to top it because I know that's probably the strangest thing any of us have ever seen.
Definitely. So one time I was my ex-girlfriend had a house, and in the house they used to do seances. I'm sure you guys in this community know a little bit about seances, but basically you're invoking spirits of the dead to, you know, get answers or whatever else you want to do with them, or whatever they decide they want to do with you, who really knows. But so we were at our house one night, and we were together in the bathroom, and we were looking in the mirror together, and there was the kitchen right behind the bathroom door. And in the kitchen, we saw right behind where the door was. It was probably four feet behind us. There was probably a 6.5 foot, 7 foot tall ghost just sitting there. And we both just looked at each other and then looked back at that. it went away probably 20 seconds later, but it was pretty intense. It was pretty freaky. That was probably the most intense thing I've ever seen.
I'd say so. And the fact that you had a witness seeing the same thing at the same time, and it wasn't in your brain, it was something there that you both saw. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a short one, but it was very powerful. When I was a professor, and I took some of the guys in the fraternity that I advised on a ghost hunt in the main hall of the campus. And we invited two of the security cops to go with us. I didn't want someone to come in and say, oh, you guys don't need to be here. And I said, I'm taking them on a ghost hunt. And they said, that's great. We want to go with you. So we go in there, and we all spread out. And then two of the guys stayed with me, and we started walking, and two of the security guards. They wanted to know where I was going to go. So we went into a main conference room. And now nobody had been in this building before, you know, it was like 10 o'clock at night. Nobody had been in this building. And so we walked in the conference room, and we heard a noise, and we cut the light on, and the chandelier, the large chandelier, was swinging at a gait of about 3 feet back and forth. And we were shocked. And I remember one of the students, Eric, he said, "Oh, my God, I am seeing a ghost." And we watched it for about 5 minutes, and then we finally stopped it. We were afraid it was going to just keep swinging so far that it was just going to, like, crash. And the two security guards, you know, for, they worked there for each there about 5 years, and we always talked about that one instance that we saw a chandelier swinging by itself at a gait of about 3 feet back and forth. And it was terrifying. I mean, it was really terrifying. It's like we knew none of us had done it. Nobody had even been in that part of the building. The other guys ended up marooned outside, locked outside, and they called me and said, "Please come help get us back in here." I said, "Okay." So, yeah, interesting things that we've all seen, and that's great. And so
yes. Well, you're quite the guy about the dowsing rods. Have you ever heard about use of pendulums in this type of thing? I've heard that pendulums can kind of sense these types of electromagnetic energies just as pendulums do. So maybe there's a connection there with a swinging chandelier.
Yes.
It's kind of like a pendulum, right?
Yes, it is. And now I don't know what to say about that. I would have to do some thinking and some research. But, yeah, pendulums have been used. I mean, they're used in Ouija boards. They're used all over to kind of gather energy and point people in certain directions. So that would be a good one to talk about. I've got some more dowsing rods going out to some folks that are going to be working with it. In fact, our guest next week, now this is great. I know Trey and Mark are going to be excited, and Robin's going to be excited too. It's Jason McClendon from Alabama, and he is a sorcerer, and he's the real thing now. He's the real thing. So next week on ScaryCast, we've got coming from Alabama with a banjo on his knee, a sorcerer. So that's going to be a very interesting show, like we hope all of them are for everybody on ScaryCast. So I want to thank our guest, Keith Bassetti, for being here. We've enjoyed having you. We like your story. I think we all like your story. You saw something, and you relate it very well, so thanks. And will you come back? You've been with us a couple times already as a co-host or whatever, so will you come back?
Absolutely. I'd love to. I had a good time tonight.
Well, we're glad you were here, and look forward to having you back again. Mark, our producer, Mark Johnston, our producer on YouTube for the ScaryCast channel. Thank you very much for being here. We've enjoyed having you here. You better come back now, okay?
Yeah, thanks, John. It was an interesting conversation tonight. That was a great story, and it was great talking to you guys.
It was. And Dr. Trey Donaway, the Surgeon General, you've always got the best stories, whether they're humorous or whether they're serious. You got the best stories of all of ScaryCast.
No, that wasn't a humorous story. No, I really saw two maintenance guys taking the stairs. See, nobody believes it. I mean, I've told this story I don't know how many times, and everyone just says, "You're making that up." They just don't believe me.
Well, all I've got to say is it's a great story. We've had great stories tonight. We've had Keith's UFO story. It's all been good. We'll see you next week on ScaryCast. Same bat time, same bat channel on WLSC AM and FM in Loras, Tiger Radio, and on WTWW Nashville, shortwave to the world. So we'll see you next week. This is Dr. John signing off. We'll see you next week on the one, the only ScaryCast.
Good night, John.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.